Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Frank Film Club. I'm Maisie Williams and I'm an actor and producer.
I'm Larry Roberts and I'm a producer and filmmaker.
I'm Hannah Marie Williams and I'm a casting director.
And welcome to our club.
Hello everyone, welcome back to Frank Film Club. This week we are talking about The Wonder, which is available to watch on Netflix, and so I would really recommend that you give it a watch. It was based on a book written by Emma Donoghue and written for screen by Emma Donoghue again, and Sebastian Lelio, who also directed it, and also Alice Birch, who wrote Lady Macbeth, some episodes of Normal People, Conversation with Friends. So we've got like some big names in here. Sebastian Lelio also did Disobedience. Did you ever see that? Gloria.
Rachel Weisz.
Yeah. Rachel McAdams.
Yeah.
And then Emma Donoghue also wrote Room and also wrote the Room, the book. So she's a novelist and a screenwriter. Multiple times.
I've already learned a lot. So
yeah.
End of episode.
So that's that. It's great. No, it's really, really incredible film. And I'm very excited to talk to you both about it. But first of all, how are you both? What have you both been up to?
Yeah, I'm really good. What have I been up to? I have been actually working through this really cool book that I got, which is called Healing Trauma Through Something. But it's like an exercise book. And it's like, it's the first part was about trauma, but the rest of it's like kind of just these really fun exercises where you get to draw and write things and write poems and stuff like that. Did you ever see that book, Milk and Honey? Yeah. It's the same author who wrote that, but now she's done like an exercise book. I've been doing that. It's been fun. I've loved it. I get my pens out. I get it all colourful. I'm like, no one's going to see this, but at the same time, if they did, if someone would happen to like steal it and read it, they'd be like, whoa, she's an artist.
<Very impressed.
laughs> Yeah.
I would buy that book. Do you know what? I did something really similar over lockdown in the first year called The Artist's Way. Have you heard of that?
No.
That is like similar, but it's about finding your artist, inner artist. And
so
you do, there's a few different things to it. You take yourself on like an artist date every week where you do something artistic different every week. And you write morning pages where you have to write like 4 pages just to see what comes out of your brain in the morning as soon as you wake up. And there's loads of different things that you do. And like, although it sounds a bit like, I don't know, like, oh, like how self-indulgent, I actually felt like I learned a lot about myself. And it was good because we were in lockdown. So
That sounds really good. I want to get that.
Yeah.
The Artist Way.
I will give it to you. It's really good.
Ooh.
Cool.
Yeah.
Love a good book recommendation.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also I like to be productive as well. So it's like best of both.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
What have you been up to? What have you been up to this year?
What have I been up to? I've had quite a chilled week, actually. It's been really nice. We've got like a little bit of a in-between week. So I'm enjoying that and trying not to be like, why am I not busy? I need to get all of my worth out of doing shit. I find that hard, but I'm trying to enjoy it as much as possible. But I'm glad to be here today.
Good. I'm glad.
How about you?
Yeah, same. It's been quite good. We're quite busy, actually, but also have just been like having a good time doing my routine and swimming and all that. But yeah, work's going well.
Nice.
But very happy to be here today talking about this.
Yeah, thank you for picking this movie.
You're very welcome. Should we get into it?
Let's do it.
So, The Wonder. It's got a stellar cast. We've got Florence Pugh playing Lib, Neve Alger as Kitty, Keila Lord Cassidy as Anna, Elaine Cassidy as Rosaline, Toby Jones as Dr. McBriarty, and Tom Burke as William. And there's many more people, like known actors in this film, but I'm not going to try and list them all because there's far too many. Mm-hmm. It was nominated for 10 Biffers and it won one Biffer. So nominated for 11 and won one of those, which is pretty good. And well, what were your first thoughts when watching it?
What did it win? Sorry, to answer your question with a question. Which one did he win? Which Biffer?
I believe it was music.
Ah. Ooh, interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did love the music.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. So I really, really enjoyed it. I enjoyed it more than I thought I was going to enjoy it, actually. Because I'm not a big, as you know, I'm not a big period film person, especially anything like of this sort of era. Mm-hmm. But I did really love it. And mostly down to the acting, the cinematography, the music. Mm-hmm. And just a few of the shots were just really, I just love the way that they did a few of the things. And I thought the beginning was like really made you sit up, and I thought it was a really interesting choice. So overall, I really, really liked it. It's not my favorite film, but like as a viewing experience, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I also was like kind of hesitant going, well, not just like to sit down and watch it, because I really wanted to love it. And I knew that like tonally, it was very interesting. I love suspense and I love like a bit of a mystery. But I think the period thing initially like made me, in the same way, like when I was watching Portrait of a Lady on Fire, I was like, I knew it was going to be amazing, but I just had to like get in through the door. And then that opening took me completely by surprise, and that was all I really needed then, and I was just really, really gripped. And I had this like idea of it being a kind of a period piece, but that just really like I just kind of like lost that like awareness and just was so fascinated by just like the female story and like the yeah, I guess just like the suspense and like, yeah. So I enjoyed it. I really loved it. It like surprised me how much I loved it.
Yeah.
That's what you said. Same as you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Similarly, I had to kind of like bring myself to watch this and was a bit like, I'd seen that Florence Pugh had been posting a lot about it and seemed very proud of it. And I was like, okay, obviously people are very proud of this film. Like we should probably give it a watch. But also still had that hesitancy for the same reasons as you guys have just said. And equally was, I really, really loved it. And I feel like it really has something to say. And I loved what it was saying. I thought it was a really good film. I didn't feel like it was too slow or anything, as much as I thought it might be a bit of a slow one. So yeah, following on from that, what did you guys take from the film? What were you think it was saying to you?
This is like also what I wanted to ask you guys, because I don't know. I don't know. I still am a little bit confused. Well, I don't know if I can say confused. I am a little bit confused. I don't know what Neve Algar, Kitty, I can't figure out what she wanted, because she was narrating the whole thing and she introduced it and yeah. So I don't know. I was kind of just watching it as like the story, just sort of like what was happening, but I couldn't really figure out what the duality of it was. Like, was it something to do with like women and like withholding food or anything like that? I don't know. I actually don't know. So I'm not really being helpful. I can't answer your question.
Yeah, that's something that I definitely want to talk about or try and understand, is what that meant. Because that's something that I was surprised about for the film, because I think I love Neve Algar, as like we all do. And I felt like her role was quite small. But then, yeah, you're right. She was narrating and she does close the film. But I don't really understand. Like, what does she say at the end?
In, out, which is what Lib. Yeah.
Yeah. With the bird.
Yeah.
Anna is saying.
Anna.
It. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course. Anna.
Yeah.
Is she free? Is she not free? Is she free? Is she not free? But then why is it Neve Algar that's doing that? And why is she dressed in like normal? I know, because she's not on the set anymore. But yeah, that same thing. Like, what does that mean for it to be her doing that?
Yeah. Is this whole small story fictional?
Yeah.
Like it is.
Yeah.
But like,
well, I don't know entirely why it was Neve's character that had to say those things. But I just thought that overall the point of of them going in and out of a story is because it's about how like religion and belief, different beliefs are just based on a load of stories, and we get so pulled into them that we believe them. Like we were getting pulled into this film and we were believing it, and then suddenly she's like, oh, remember, you're still in, this is a story, but you just got fully sucked got fully sucked into that, didn't you?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh yeah, I did. And that's what that, and I think it's saying like that is what religion can
right.
be, and that's what
you
can
oh
get
God.
So
I'm
sucked
so
in.
Dumb. I did not get that
no,
at all.
You're not.
I didn't.
Did you get that?
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
But that's not dumb.
That makes so much more sense.
What do you think to that?
If I had known that, if I had realized that, because if I had had the smarts, if I had, then I would have been like, oh, damn, that was good.
So is that sort of to say like, no one is trying to like, none of the characters are trying to hurt Anna. It's like they all just believe that this is like something otherworldly so deeply that they just want to believe that, and they don't want Lib to kind of like figure it out.
Yeah.
And like we are also being like just like gluing ourselves to this story even though we also know it's not true.
Yeah, I think it's exactly that.
Yeah.
And that's what Emma Donoghue, the writer of the book and partly the screenplay, she has said that. She's like, I don't think any of the men in this story who are like the ones who would, a lot of their men kind of want this watch to happen, and they want to prove that she is like special and chosen. And she was like, I don't think any of them are bad people. I just think that they just have this hope and they really, really want it to be true. Mm-hmm. And they don't mean, like, unfortunately, it's meaning that she's in a very dangerous position and isn't going through a lot of pain. But she was like, they actually don't mean for that to happen. And she's like, I don't think anyone is an idiot or mean in this story. They're just so caught up.
I like that. Yeah. I like that. I want to watch it again.
And also, actually, I'll just give you a little bit of background on where the story originated from with Emma.
Yeah.
So she had just been researching. She is Irish, I think. Yeah, she is. And she'd just been doing a bit of research and had come across a load of cases just after, like a few years after the Great Famine in Ireland, where girls were fasting. And I think maybe it was for similar, I'm not entirely sure of the reasons behind this. I'm not sure if she said, but there was a lot of cases of this, but unfortunately these girls were then dying.
Yeah.
And she was like, this is awful. And there were actually groups of probably men, who would bring in people to watch the girls to try to figure out how, like, what was happening. But actually, these girls were just dying. Oh my gosh. And she was like, this is mad. I'm going to make a fictional version of this, which is slightly less horrible, and that she's going to survive. And that's where it originated from.
Fascinating.
Yes.
So that reminds me of, like, the Fallen, like, mass hysteria amongst young girls.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of, like, things, Bridgend in Wales.
Yeah.
There was like a mass, like everyone was copycatting each other, and it created this like little melting pot of, suicide. And that sounds like that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Little girls like wanting to be immortal, special, like not have the famine like touch them. Although this was after, wasn't it?
Yeah, a few years after, I think. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, interesting that like when food was like available, then something like this happened.
Yeah.
Because in researching eating disorders, it does happen only in places where food is like available and in abundance. And so it's like some sort of, it's like self, like any of these epidemics, like they're self-inflicted pain. Wow, interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wonder if it comes from like a generational sort of trauma as well, because this is like 20 years after the famine, I think. Because this 1940 was the
set
famine.
In 1862.
1840 was the famine.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So maybe if it was young girls, maybe it was like a generational trauma thing. Like they wanted to connect to
the stories.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. Or not. Yeah, like just sort of punish themselves because of all of this pain that they know that they've been like so lucky to have missed.
Yeah.
You know?
So, but But the mother doesn't think that it's real because she's pretending.
So
she doesn't believe.
She's even lying to herself, I guess.
Well, that's the thing. So the mother and Anna, they both know that she is taking in food, that she is eating.
Yeah.
But they are even so in, like, looking into their religion that they are like, even this food is manna from heaven. And they're like convincing themselves that that is, it's not food, it's the, you know?
Mm.
And
this alone can't be what's keeping her alive. It's like, this is even a gift from heaven.
Yeah.
Manna from heaven.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's like really clever.
And I'm not.
It's very spiritual. No, it's very spiritual.
Yeah.
And it's like, are you going to let go into that?
So what did you make of the breaking of the fourth wall when you first watched it? You have kind of touched on it a little bit already, but yeah.
I really liked it because it gave me something like an in, really.
Yeah.
Because I think I would have, I don't know, I think I would have struggled. I don't know why it is, what it is with like period things. It's just something that, like, I struggle to get through the door. But then it's, like, crazy because this film reminds me of Portrait of Lady on Fire. It reminds me of even Lady Macbeth. And I love both of those films. And they aren't, like, I don't know what I think a period film is going to be because any ones that I've watched, I've really loved. So I just don't know what it is I'm scared of.
Yeah.
But it basically just helped me be, like, don't worry, little one. It's just a film.
Come on in.
Come on through.
You're going to love it.
Bring your attention span over here. Yeah. And then I was like...
Do you know what, though? I think that, like, those films are really good references because I totally relate. But I can pinpoint what I love. I can pinpoint what I love about those three films, and it's because they don't feel like the typical run-of-the-mill period films set in that period. They do something different.
Yeah.
Like, they're all grounded.
Yeah.
All really grounded. They don't speak in oldie-worldy language.
Yeah.
And the shots are very, like, what we come to, like, enjoy as accessible, beautiful cinematography.
Mm-hmm.
I think that this... Like, I just makes you sit up, and the way that the camera pans around and then goes into the set, like, I love anything like that where we can see film sets on TV. I'm like, yeah, it's my job. I love it. But yeah, I think that's what it is about this film for me that it just makes you sit up a little bit. Yeah. What did you think?
Mm. I'm not going to lie. When it first went onto the studio, I was like, oh, this isn't very pretty.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I'm actually... The opposite to you, but I think seeing people making films in a film, it really, I don't know why, I really don't like it. Maybe because it makes me think of work and it makes me really conscious that it is a film.
Right, you want to get lost.
Which in this film was the point, so it's perfect and it works. And once I realised that that's why it did it and that was a conscious choice to take you out of it, I was like, okay, I can let it slide for this one. Yeah.
What did you guys think about how when Lib like is going through the story and the more that she's like watching Anna and like we see her eating and it like becomes like a chore, like what did you think of that? Yeah.
I really love the contrast of seeing like she's having to watch this girl every day not eating and then she goes to eat, like we see her eating so much.
Yeah.
And it makes, I mean, it kind of put into perspective how much we do eat, we do need to eat to survive. And you're like, okay, yeah, this really, how is this happening? But it did really, she was like not really enjoying her food so much. Maybe it was because she felt guilty that she was eating whilst this girl upstairs starving.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. What did you think?
Yeah, I don't know. I wanted that, like, it started to, when she started eating very, like, rhythmically but like kind of like a zombie almost, I wondered if she was going to take on any sort of like hysteria of it because like I just didn't know I didn't know if it was going to start like really deeply affecting her and it did like ended up not really being that way but that was sort of I got really like in the same way that the falling like it start like it starts to seep through.
Yeah.
Yeah. I liked that food was a big part of it, just to like...
I generally really love watching people eat. Oh, it's really strange. I find it, there's something about it that makes me feel like the person on the screen is relaxed, which makes me relaxed. Because it's just such a normal thing to do.
Yeah,
and then to have that emotion put into it is... Yeah, it's really interesting, but I love seeing it on screen anyway.
But equally, if someone eats on screen and they eat like badly, like they're like not eating enough, they're just playing with their food.
Oh, yeah,
it really takes me out of it. So it needs to be done right, and then I love it.
Yes.
But when it's done badly, I'm like, that was like a...
Just pushing the...
Yeah, I'm like, just eat them.
We had to do an eating scene the other day.
Oh, bloody hell. I hope you were having big scoops.
Yeah, I did, because I didn't have a lot of dialogue, you know. And so you can't push your food around and then look up to listen to what someone's going to say, because you just listen as you're eating, don't you? So I ate a lot of food and I felt really sick afterwards.
No.
But Ben, who was doing a lot of talking, was very good at the old...
But that really annoys me as well, when they keep on going and to eat and then they put it back down, because I'm like, yeah, you must be so hungry by now, just have a bite.
Yeah,
you
know? I kept saying, it really takes me out of it when people do that, you know.
Yeah, let him know.
He was like, I had two mouthfuls, and I was like,
oh, fair play.
I've had like seven.
Yeah. I love it. Okay, I'm going to give you a bit more information about how the film got made.
Yes.
From book to screen. So, as we know, Emma wrote it. It was then picked up by Ed Gainey and Tessa Ross, who were two producers. It was produced by some other producers as well, but I believe these were the ones that originally had it. And they asked Sebastian to come on. So he really liked it. And then Florence came on. She was the first person to be attached. And then he was like, okay, amazing. This is definitely a really good team. We've got a good film. Cinematographer was Ari Wagner, who also did Lady Macbeth, Power of the Dog, and Zola, which is quite a mad mix, but excellent films. And any guesses on the budget?
Ooh.
I've got it in dollars.
8?
20.
Wow.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
So that's a bit more, information overall.
Mm-hmm.
Something I did want to ask you about was the genre, because this was like advertised as a psychological thriller. And I wondered, do you think it lives up to that? Do you think it is a psychological thriller?
I don't think so. In my own scale of things, I wouldn't put this as a psychological thriller. I'd put it as a mystery. Because I don't feel... I would require Lib to really lose herself a little more. I know she has a moment with the tube where she's like, what am I doing? But I don't think that she's like insane for doing that. Or, yeah. Like, I didn't see why she did it and then she regretted it. Yeah, whereas, like, that's what I was looking for almost, because it was kind of marketed as such. That's why when she was eating, I was like, oh, what am I supposed to think? What am I supposed to feel? But yeah.
Yeah.
But I still love a mystery. Like,
yeah, no, I would have said mystery drama, yeah. But I think it would have got more in the realm of psychological drama if they did play more into her, you know, because she has like a little drug routine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is it drugs?
I think so.
Is that what drugs is?
I think it is that, but I haven't seen a set answer to this one.
Okay.
I haven't found that in the research.
If that was more of a thing, then yeah, you would probably go down that road, wouldn't you? Mm. I would you have liked that?
What, if it was more of a psychological...
Mm.
No, because I think that... Because I think that what it was amazing, like with the... Like... With it being, I guess in that ways, then it is a psychological thriller, because all of these people are like sort of lying to themselves, and then we as like the watcher are also getting sucked into a story and like reading into it, and then it's just like something that we're telling ourselves. So I like it for that. But I didn't really get that on my own without your help. So, yeah. don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe I would have, but now that we've spoken about it, I'm like happy with what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I agree. Yeah.
I was also a little bit, this is one point that I'm still slightly unsure, and I was like, I didn't fully know what she was doing there. When I think it was like some kind of medicine or drug or something. And maybe that was her dealing with her grief of the child that died.
Mm.
But that was just one bit. I was like, I don't fully get what's going on here.
Can I say the thing I didn't fully get into was the relationship between her and Tom Burke's character. Mm. I don't know if I really understood that.
I too don't think that he was... He wasn't like an integral part to the story at all, which is maybe quite a nice thing for a man to be pushed to the side.
But he definitely was like, you know, she's deceitful. And he's talking about Anna. But I feel like he almost helps Lib figure it out, because... He's saying that Anna's like a deceitful, like, I think that's the word he uses.
Yeah.
But then it ends up reading into the mum. Sorry, I'm getting all my names mixed up. Rosaline. And I don't know, when I was listening to that, I was like, who is she? And then it ended up not being Anna. Even though I think that he was speaking about Anna. And then as soon as Lib was like, okay, this is like what the deal is, he was sort of like, I'm out.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I feel like he was kind of helpful in her, like, piecing it together, even though he didn't know what the answer was. Like, it, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. He was kind of a little bit like, he was just like there's showing one side of the party.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He helps her get there.
A little, I felt. But it wasn't needed, I don't think. Mm. But I did, like, appreciate that conversation where it's like, there's more to what you are looking at here. Mm. And then it was like, okay. What am I missing?
Tangent, but when I was watching the scene where they have sex in the hallway,
yeah,
I was just thinking, is that, what is the origin of the skirt? Like, is there a reason why women wear skirts and men wear trousers? Oh, and is this something really icky and gross? But I looked into it, and you'll be pleased to know that men also used to wear skirts in the Roman times and times before, and they started wearing trousers because the men would ride horses.
Oh. Okay.
So now we know.
Okay, good, because that would have been a really hard line to that.
That's fact. So funny, you watch that scene like, is this why ladies wear dresses?
Looking down at my dress thinking, that's disgusting.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, let's have a chat about all the casting choices of this film. So, as I said before, Florence was the first person attached. And also, she'd worked with some of these people before.
Dream team.
Yeah.
Dream team.
Like the cinematographer, Alice on the story. So, I think there was a lot of that with, like, other producers, and the director had worked with one of the producers before and all this. So, it was a very solid crew.
Oh, yeah.
Florence's performance, excellent. Mm-hmm. I just got to say, I loved her accent so much.
Yeah.
And I loved that she wasn't from Southern England, because I feel like in so many, especially period dramas, but in most films anyway, it will always just be a posh Southerner that comes in. And
that
you never
so
hear
true.
Any other accents.
No regional accents.
No regional accents.
Yeah.
And also think that she smashed the accent she was doing.
Yeah, me too.
It was nice, subtle.
So authentic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is it always in the book that the nurse comes from England, or is that because of casting that they made it? Because I just was like, is it because they had Florence, so they made it in English? But then she did an accent anyway.
Yeah, that's true.
I would imagine that would have been part of it, because it's like another reason that they can like not trust her when she like figures it out.
Yeah, that's true. Oh yeah. And also because Ireland, like, very religious at that time as well. So maybe she's coming in as like she's less heavily tied to a religion from England.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know for sure, but that's a guess.
Yeah, no, that makes total sense.
Yeah.
Am I right in thinking though that like it was the famine was really awful and it affected Ireland, and England did very little and basically made it worse? That should not have happened.
No.
But like, I feel like it adds that other layer where it's like there's like sort generational
like
pain and distrust of England.
Yeah.
So
classic.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair play.
Yeah.
The mum and daughter, right?
Yeah.
I was just thinking that when you said they're both Cassidy.
Yeah. So, Keela Lord Cassidy is Elaine Cassidy's daughter. So that's Anna and, Anna and her mum.
Is that because it was made during COVID and like what you were talking about?
Yeah, so it was made during COVID. Yeah.
That makes sense. She hadn't really done much before this, right?
I don't think so.
Because Elaine Cassidy, she's
an actor already.
Yeah.
And so is Keela's dad, Elaine's.
Who's Keela's dad?
Stephen Lord. So he's also an actor. And so they were both... Well, he was usually on set, like, supervising.
Yeah.
But apparently, like, that relationship was really, really good because he knew... As an actor himself, he, like, knew... Like, he was in on the discussions, especially when there's, like, the scene where Florence does a tube down his throat. Like, that's quite awful. And also just a very emotional scene at one point as well. And so having actors as parents and also them being on their own set and having those conversations with all of the rest of the cast and crew was apparently like very, very, very good.
Keela doesn't have a Irish accent in IRL.
No. She's got a Northern accent, but Elaine does.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about Stephen.
I thought her accent was really good, but she's probably like grown up hearing it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Mimic her mum.
She was absolutely fabulous.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah.
She was 11.
That's
11.
Wow.
Really good.
Yeah.
Very mature performance.
Mm-hmm. Such a mature performance, because the character in it, like herself, is an extremely mature, spiritual, like, person.
Mm.
So, which kind of feels... I don't know, when you watch her, you're like, God, she just seems so wise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know, I've listened to an interview with her because I just wanted to know who she was. I've not seen her in anything before. And it really annoyed me because the interviewer, it was a journalist, it was someone on a radio station, really spoke to her like she was a child. And you could just tell she had so much to say and he just patronised her and it really annoyed me.
That is annoying.
She's an artist now, okay? She's, like, done a really incredible job on this piece, which is, like, very a difficult role.
Yeah.
And I just thought that's really disrespectful.
Yeah. She was actually incredible.
Mm.
That's really shitty of that interviewer.
It's really funny that we do that because, like, you have all these memories from when you're young and, like, you were, like, sentient and coherent for so much of it. But then all of a sudden, like, as adults, we just, like... pretend that kids don't know what's going on and that, like, you know, ask really simple questions and, like, but it's like it's really odd, really bizarre, and especially in this situation, just like ask a real question. You know,
did you see that when you were younger?
I think I did, and I think I used to go off all the time, like, I'm so grown up, like, I know what's going on. And I used to get so mad about it, like, I wanted to be taken seriously, and I was like 14 15 16 and I was like, I'm not that young kind of thing. And I do laugh about it now because I look at 14, 15, 16-year-olds and go, I know what people saw. And there is an immaturity and there is like a naivety. But like, there's also like, I don't know. There is a point to be made. And I felt like it was really hard to do that without people going, well, when you get to my age, you'll know. Because they still look back on those things and was like, actually, it's just still a piece of truth in like all of those like wild opinions and things. But it's just like, I don't know.
Yeah, I think there's something interesting in young naivety anyway.
Yeah.
Like that shouldn't be something that we like.
We go, oh, well done. Yes. Yeah. Well, you know, let me know how you feel about it again in 5 years' time. No.
I feel like we even still get patronised now in our work. True. At this age.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous.
And I can't be old enough. I can't be young enough. It's like not a right age to be.
Yeah. It's like
it's
patronizing in general.
To do.
Yeah. Like it is. People, it's something that people do. I don't know if people mean to do it, but it's such an awful thing.
Yeah.
It's such a horrible thing to do.
Yeah.
Well, I hopefully have never done that to anyone. We are aware of that.
Yeah.
Age.
Yeah. What the hell? Kind of going back to psychological thriller, like the mood of the film. What did you think about Anna? Did you find her creepy? Because I've heard some people being like, oh my God, we're so on edge the whole time. Found her really, really spooky. But I can't say that I felt that way.
I didn't.
No.
I felt maternal towards her, and I think that's what Lib obviously felt as well.
Mm. Yeah.
I felt her like, we said it already, but like really wise, like all knowing. And it just like kind of made me very like drawn to her. Mm. But like I felt drawn to her. I didn't feel like,
yeah.
Yeah. It was like she had all the secrets. She was like calculated.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
She's 12.
Good. I'm glad that you also both felt that way. Because I was like, I've heard a lot of people say that they found her creepy.
So like, interesting. Yeah. She wasn't like, you know when people give a creepy performance as a creepy child?
Mm.
Maybe that's what people thought that she was doing. But like, I also find that not to be creepy either because I like know what you're trying to do. Like you're trying to make me feel. So maybe in that sense, that's why they found her creepy because she was actually just being very like real and being very open and not trying to be
We're casting a kid at the moment that is like 13 and he is a creepy kid, but the same thing, like we're not looking for it's like when somebody comes in and gives a creepy performance, we're like, no, it's more like you have to be intelligent and knowing and like that be
maybe
intimidating in some way.
Maybe that's like what people found creepy.
That is very true.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, which is then kind of fair enough.
Being clever is so creepy.
Yeah.
Like, we're just so creepy. We're just too smart.
I'm not today.
Well, there was one scene that Emma Donoghue featured. Well, she was an extra, but it got cut.
Oh.
Which is so sad.
That is so sad.
Yeah. But also, like, fair play that they were like, you know what, for the good of the story, we've got to cut out the author and the writer.
Will you be cameoing in your future films?
Oh my God, absolutely. I don't know that you can because it might be a bit obvious.
Yeah, that's the way I was nodding, I was like,
absolutely.
Yeah.
No, I guess.
No, maybe you should. You could just be like a teeny
little just
face.
A little.
I would be not with my face, it would just be the back of my head.
Yeah, like, and I'll character. Always be in front of you talking.
Yeah, it's the lead character, they're like charging out, and then they go, and what are you looking at? And it's just the back of my head.
Yeah.
And yeah, so you just see the actor.
Yeah.
Great.
And then I walk off camera. I like that.
Right, we'll do that every time.
Yeah. Would you?
I have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love in that. What?
But I didn't put myself there. I used to cast extras, as you know, and then I would go down on set and then I would get roped into being on it.
You need an extra. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, then. What did you think about the general aesthetics of the film? It's all shot in Ireland. It's bloody cold. Thoughts?
Yeah, you go.
That is something that I did notice, though. I was like, they weren't wearing any jackets. It looked freezing, and they weren't wearing jackets.
Occasionally, she had a throw on, like a little jacket throw.
Yeah.
But occasionally, she didn't, and I thought, oh, chilly.
Well, it was shot in Irish summer, actually. That was,
really?
That was an Irish summer, which is hilarious because it looks so bleak.
Yeah.
So maybe, I think, although I have seen in interviews that they were like, it was really cold. But that must just be Ireland for you.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely got the feeling that it was cold, but like not in the traditional tropes that they do. Like I found it to be a really vibrant movie and really... Like, even though there was a lot of blue and grey or whatever, like, I still found it to be, like, really bright.
Yeah.
You know? Even though it was depicting, like, bitter, bleak winter. Mm. Like, you know how sometimes it's just, like, real blue washed and it kind of looks like a dream or a memory and it's, like, really... Like, it wasn't. It had real... Her skin was so warm and her hair and... Also inside with the fire and stuff like that.
Mm.
But... And even the blue, like, had, like, a real, like... electric quality to it, and it wasn't cold, even though like I could tell it was cold, and I liked that.
Yeah,
that was also what kept me in it, and I didn't feel like it was a traditional period thing. It felt like electric.
Yeah,
yeah.
Charged.
Well, yeah. They did in, I think in the pub, the art department or the painters had, they'd painted the whole thing entirely red, and then Sebastian came in and was like, whoa, like, what are you doing? They're like, no, this is the underlayer, and then we're going to put green or maybe it was blue on top, but then you'll just see little specks of red that come through. So, like, maybe it's things like that, that they've just really, like, laid it up so that you get those little warm specks. And maybe it's that.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like that, like, it had this depth to it where it wasn't just, like, a wash of like everything's blue now. It felt really like alive,
textured.
That's so interesting.
Yeah,
underpainting.
Yeah,
I've heard it's very important for artists. So.
Yeah, it's probably,
and there
it
is,
do it on every film, to be fair.
Yeah, but happening in the flesh.
Yeah, love it.
My favorite shot was where she's Lib is walking across the field, and then the mountains, the shape of the mountains, then fade into her lying in the bed.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Didn't bloody realise that.
Oh, it was lovely.
Oh.
In fact, I'm taking credit for noticing it, but Warren was like, oh my God, wow, what a shot. Let me rewind it. And then I was like, okay, wow.
And it was perfect.
It was the line of the hills.
Cool. Her shoulder.
That must be a little VFX jobby.
Interessant.
Lovely. I didn't notice that. Oh, I'll have to go rewatch that.
It's very beautiful.
Noted.
Mm.
So... what were your final thoughts on the film, ladies?
I am going to actually go and rewatch it today because it's freezing cold outside and I feel like this movie is like the perfect, you know, perfect for a nice cold day, because I didn't get like the most important thing about it the first time around and I'm kind of mad at myself, but I did still really enjoy it. And so if you're listening to this podcast and you didn't watch the film yet, then that's the point of the film. So Lowry just told us the point of the film. So yeah, I'm going to go back and watch it and I'm probably going to enjoy it more this time, but still loved it. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I've been scored. You know, this film club, we're like, we're having a full and frank conversation without like any, just did not, like we're not, and we're honest about that. Sometimes you can watch a film and you can miss the point and that's totally fine. Yeah. Go and watch it again. Have a conversation, go and watch it again.
Yeah.
And then it'll be even better that you'll realise that you missed those things.
That's so true.
I feel the exact same way. And I am so glad we spoke about it on the podcast. Otherwise, I'd just be walking around thinking, yeah, that was good. You look nice.
And you?
Yeah, I really, really loved this film. Unexpectedly loved this film.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, God, it's really... I've already spoke to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we'll probably also watch it again, which is great because that's the rarity nowadays with all these films.
There's too many options.
Too many.
Also, it's such a cool A team. And I really love it when people like work together again. And we had Lady Macbeth and we had this. And what was the other one that we were... Room.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, what?
Yeah. What a team.
Yeah. I hope that they do something together again.
Yeah.
And we'll do it here on Film Club. But yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Very cool. Inspiring.
Well, thanks so much for chatting with me, girls.
Oh, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you so much for picking this movie.
Yeah, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Yeah.
thanks so much for joining us for that episode. Hope you enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. Next episode, we're going to be speaking about 10 Things I Hate About You, which is an absolute classic. If you haven't seen it already, it's directed by Jill Junger, and you can watch it on Amazon Prime. And there's probably a few other places as well. So go and watch it and then join us back here next week for more Frank Film Club.
This podcast was presented by Wrapped.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.